Psalm 32. I'm not going to be dealing with the whole psalm this morning. I'm going to be dealing with verses 1 to 5. And then next week we will look at a few more verses in this psalm. It is one of the great psalms of the Bible, and I commend it for your study. So we're looking this morning at verses 1 to 5. I wonder if somebody asked you the question, what is a Christian? I wonder what answer you would give. Perhaps you have a friend, a neighbor, colleague at work, and you've been witnessing to this person. And they say to you, well, all right, you've been talking about becoming a Christian. You've been telling me you are a Christian. Well, what is a Christian? I wonder what your answer would be. Well, I want to tell you three things this morning from this psalm that describes a Christian. The first question, what is a Christian? Well, the answer of this psalm is that a Christian is a person who is blessed of God. A Christian is a person whom God has set up, whom God has separated, whom God has, as it were, set apart that he might bless this person. That is a Christian. The Christian life is a life of blessing. You read about this in the Old Testament. You read about how often God's people are encouraged to praise the Lord for the blessings that they receive. You read about it in the New Testament. One of the great, great passages of the New Testament. We were reading this earlier in our prayer meeting. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians. Now just listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us, says Paul, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And when you read the letter to the Ephesians, Paul in a sense is unpacking that verse because it's such a rich verse. What are these blessings that God has given us? And how do we receive them? And how do we respond to them? That's Ephesians. So the Bible speaks about how we are the blessed people of God. And here in this psalm, David says that. Notice how the psalm begins. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Do you remember the Lord Jesus' first sermon that's recorded in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And that whole section of the Beatitudes, blessed and blessed and blessed. Because in that passage, Christ is describing a Christian, blessed of God. Last week in my sermon, I was talking about the books of the Bible, and I was encouraging you to study the various books of the Bible, not just the Psalms. And last week, I was talking about Genesis and Exodus. Can I this week encourage you to study the fourth book of the Bible, the book of Numbers? I wonder if you've ever read through the book of Numbers and studied the book of Numbers. Why am I talking about the book of Numbers in this sermon? The book of Numbers has a very, very interesting lesson to teach us as Christians. Because the book of Numbers warns us that there are times in our Christian lives when we get so caught up with our problems, when the circumstances in our lives, they become such a focus of attention that all we can think about is our problems, our circumstances, our difficulties, our anxieties, our worries, and we become so caught up in these things that we forget the blessings that God has given us. The blessings are pushed out of our hearts and out of our minds by our little problems and difficulties and anxieties. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling anybody's problems, but I am saying this, that compared to the blessings that God has given to us, our problems really are minuscule, but we forget this. We get things out of focus. Five times in the book of Numbers, the people of Israel grumbled, murmured, and complained against God. There are five different occasions in the book of Numbers when they complained to God. They had been slaves in Egypt. Their lives were terrible lives. They were crying out to God for deliverance. And they were saying to God, our lives have become unbearable here in Egypt. We are slaves and they're exterminating us. This command has gone out that if a Hebrew woman gives birth to a male child, that male child is to be thrown into the Nile so that there will be no next generation. This will be the last generation. We will die out. That was their condition in Egypt. And God rescued them from that. God delivered them from that. And they were in the wilderness now, having left that slavery in Egypt. But they forgot that blessing. And they say to Moses, oh, when we were in Egypt, we ate fish. We ate cucumbers. We ate garlic. We ate onions. We had a wonderful life there. And now here we are in the wilderness with all these difficulties and all these troubles. They complained, they murmured, they grumbled. My friends, it is a sin to complain against God. 25,000 Israelites died in the wilderness because of the sin of complaining, murmuring, and grumbling against God. 25,000 Israelites died. God considers complaining and murmuring and grumbling a sin. Can I remind you the words of Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you, there's that word again, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The next time you're tempted to complain, to murmur, to grumble, you don't like something in your church, you don't like something in your fellow Christian, you don't like something in the service, you don't like this, you don't like that, and you are tempted to complain, remember the book of Numbers. God does not like that because we are a blessed people. And all we're doing is allowing our circumstances to so take up our attention, we forget the blessings of God. Christians are blessed. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who has been blessed of God with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the first question I wanted to ask of this psalm. The second question I want to ask of this psalm is this. Why is a Christian a blessed person? What is it about a Christian that makes him a blessed person? Well, David says here, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. In other words, he says, God has dealt with my sin. God has forgiven me my sin. And that is like a dam bursting. You know, you've seen these things where there's a dam and the water is flowing and it stopped the water. And the water is building up and the water is building up and the water is building up. And finally, the dam breaks. And this water comes cascading down. It crashes out of this block and it flows freely with huge force. Do you know our sin are like this dam? They block the blessings of God. Every time we fall into sin, and like David, we do not repent of our sins, but we keep quiet about our sins. We will not confess our sins. The dam is set up and the blessings of God stop. And then we confess our sins and the dam is broken and the blessings of God come cascading over us. And so what is it that makes a person a blessed person? It is because his sins have been forgiven and he has been brought into the kingdom of God and Christ is his Lord and God is his God and his Father and the Holy Spirit of God lives in him. And he has Christ as his high priest in heaven. I want this morning, to focus on that last thing that I've said. Christ is his Lord and Christ is his great high priest in heaven. Because I think that is one of the greatest blessings that we have. And I think it is the one that we neglect. I think it's the one we forget. And if we only grasped this, that I have seated at the right hand of the Father, my Savior who is my great high priest, who loves me and sympathizes with me and equips me and enables me to live this Christian life. If only we grasped this, what a blessed life we would have. What a joyful life we would have. Can I just use an illustration to explain this? Because it is so important. Please bear with me. I want to use an illustration to explain this. Imagine that there is, in an African country, a very, very wealthy family. And one of the boys of that family comes to Britain, goes to Eton, goes to Oxford, and then, having got his degree, goes back home to Africa. And he enters politics, becomes an MP. And the Prime Minister calls him. And the Prime Minister says, I want you to become a member of my cabinet. I want you to be Home Secretary. I want you to look after the affairs of these people. I want you to look after the well-being of our citizens. And the man says, I'll do that. But I first want time to prepare myself for this job. Prime Minister says, fine, go and take your time, prepare yourself for this job, and then come and do it. And he leaves his home, this large home that he has in his city, in the city, because he's from such a wealthy family. He leaves all his posh clothes, he leaves his checkbook, he leaves his ATM card, he leaves all the privileges that he has. He goes to some remote village where the poorest are living. And he becomes a member of that village. He actually goes and lives in one of the huts in that village. He actually becomes a member of one of the families in that village. And for 33 years, now I know these illustrations don't always work well, but please stick with me. For 33 years, he lives in that village. And he goes through all the experiences that people in that country go through. There's a 3-year famine, and all the animals die, and the people struggle to eat, and he's one of them. He doesn't access his bank account, and he doesn't access his friends in influential places. He starves with them. He goes through all this famine with them. He looks at the animals dying. He looks at the people suffering. Members of his own family that he has joined, they're struggling. Illness has come. There's an outbreak of malaria. He gets malaria. And they have to care for him. His adoptive father dies. And he watches his mother struggling to make ends meet with all the economic problems and illnesses and so on. And for 33 years, he goes through all the experiences that people in his country are going through. And finally, he returns to the city, goes to his house, puts on his smart clothes, goes to the Prime Minister and says, I'm now fit to be Home Secretary, to care for the welfare of these people. And he's sitting at his desk in the Home Office, and a letter comes from another remote village. And they say, we've had a famine, and we're struggling. He gets another letter from a widow in some village. My son has malaria, and we're struggling. And he goes to the Prime Minister, and he says, we must do something about this. And the Prime Minister says, well, you know, we're a wealthy country. We have oil, we have precious stone, We have all kinds of metals. Our treasury is full. You have all authority. Go and help these people. And he goes to these villages and he sits with the people and he plans how best to use the resources of the nation to help them. You can see where I'm going with this, can't you? This is what Hebrews says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed by God the Father to be the Savior of his people. God has his elect people, and he gives his elect people to his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he says, you save them, and you bring them to heaven. And Christ comes to this earth, and Christ lives on this earth for 33 years. And Christ goes through all the experiences that we go through. He understands what we are going through. He knows what his people are going to go through. He looks down the line of history and he says, my people in every age will have these stresses, these difficulties, these experiences. I will go through them myself so that I can be a sympathetic high priest. And whatever experiences we go through, he has been through it. Notice how he puts it there. He has been in every respect, he has been tempted as we are. Do you know, I don't have to understand every word in the Bible, but I must believe every word in the Bible. How does the Lord Jesus sympathize with a widow who's lost her husband and is feeling lonely and frustrated and bewildered? Well, I don't know, but it does say he has been tempted in every respect as we are. And I believe that. I may not be able to explain how he as a man can understand how a widow feels, but it says he does, and I believe it, he does. How does the Lord Jesus understand a mother who is going through various issues with her children? Because he never had children. How does the Lord Jesus understand what a young couple in Bristol are going through because their daughter is going to have surgery this coming Thursday for a brain tumor? He never had children. But you see what the Bible says there. In every respect, he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I don't understand how, but I believe it because the Word of God says so. And we need to take hold of this. That Christ, our great high priest, lived here on earth and went through all these circumstances with the express purpose that when he returns to heaven, he will be our sympathetic, compassionate high priest. And he is your sympathetic, compassionate high priest. This is one of the great, great blessings of being a Christian. Have you ever grasped this? Have you ever thought of this? That in eternity, the Father planned the Son's earthly life. The Father planned where the Son would be born, where he would live, what experiences he would have, what difficulties he would face, and what stresses and trials he would face, so that he would be qualified to be the high priest of his people. His life was planned by the Father so as to qualify him to be our high priest. That's what happened. And so he's today seated at the right hand of the Father, a sympathetic high priest. Now, you know how it is. You're going through a trial and you pick up the phone and you ring a friend because they've been through a similar trial. And you speak to them on the phone and you say, I'm going through this. And they say, I understand exactly. I know exactly what you, because I went through it myself. Well, it's lovely that they're able to sympathize. It's lovely that they're able to say, I know exactly what you feel. I've been through it myself. But do you notice Jesus does more than that? Jesus doesn't just sympathize. Notice what it says in this passage. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he isn't just somebody who sits there and says, believe me, I know what you're going through. That's good. But he's actually able to give mercy and grace to help in time of need. He actually supports his people. He actually strengthens his people. He actually enables his people to go through their trials. He actually enables them to go through those trials without being overwhelmed by them. He is their support. He is their strength. He is their steadfast friend through all their trials. This is more than just a person saying, I understand. This is a person saying, I can actually do something. This is one of the great, great blessings of being a Christian. And we need to meditate on this much more than we do. We have a high priest seated at the right hand of the Father who loves us, whose heart is filled with compassion, with mercy, and with love towards us, and who helps us in times of need. Are you going through difficulties? Ask the Lord Jesus to help you. Take your difficulties to him. Speak to him about them and say to him, this is what I'm going through. This is what it's doing to me. And this is how my life is. Will you help me? And trust him. Trust him. He will help you. He is our sympathetic high priest. So our first question, what is a Christian? A Christian is a person who is blessed of God. Why is a Christian blessed? Because his sins have been forgiven in Christ. He's become a child of God, adopted into the family of God, and Christ is his great high priest, seated at the right hand of the Father. My third question this morning, how do we come into these blessings? If you're not a Christian here this morning, you've never been born again, you've never been saved, I hope as I'm speaking, you're saying to yourself, I'd like to know these blessings. I'd like to be a blessed person. I'd like to be a person who has joy, who knows the love of God, and the love of God comes into my heart. That's what I want. I want to be loved of God, and I want to have the joy of the Lord. Well, how can I? Well, look at what David says. David had committed a sin, and he had kept quiet about his sin. And he says in verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. So he says, there was this period after my sin, I did not confess my sin. I did not repent of my sin. And he says, my life was full of difficulties and trials and problems. And then he says in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Incidentally, notice in verse 5 the same three words for sin as we saw in verses 1 and 2. Iniquity, transgression, and sin. You see what David is saying here. How do we come to be blessed of God? Confess your sin. Go to Christ. You don't need a long, complicated prayer. Go to Christ and say to him, I'm a sinner. And I need forgiveness. And I cannot bring forgiveness from myself. I cannot earn forgiveness. I cannot merit forgiveness. I cannot do the works required to be forgiven. I need forgiveness. Go to him and talk to him about your sin. Tell him you're a sinner. Tell him how you are cut off from God. And tell him that I am cut off from you and I want forgiveness. And trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Do you know this psalm is quoted in the New Testament? And in the New Testament, where it is quoted in Romans chapter 4, the writer to the Romans says, this is David trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving salvation as a free gift because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what David is doing here. He is putting his faith in Christ. He's not trusting in himself. David isn't saying, but I'm a good man, I'm a godly man, I'm a man after God's own heart, I've done many good things, I've fought Goliath, I've led Israel, I've been the king of the country, and I've been the commander of the army, and I've done many good things. Yes, I've done one bad sin, but I've done so many good things. David doesn't plead his works. David simply goes to God and says, I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. And he puts his trust in Jesus Christ because he knows that the Messiah is to come and the Messiah will die on the cross for the sins of his people. Well, the Messiah has come and Christ has died, and I commend him to you. And I say to you, if you are not saved, you're not a Christian, confess your sins to Christ and ask him to wash you, to forgive you, and to save you. And then you will enter into the joy of salvation. What is a Christian? A blessed person. Let's always remember the blessings that God has granted to us. We don't want criticism. We don't want negative talk. We don't want complaining and grumbling and murmuring. They are sin. We want rejoicing. Why is this person a blessed person? Because his sins have been forgiven. He's come into the family of God, an adopted child of God. God is his Father. Christ is his Savior, his great high priest. The Holy Spirit lives in him, and he has a place in heaven. All these blessings of God. How do we enter into that? Confess, repent, believe. Come to Christ, and you will have the joy of salvation.